Welcome to Mind Your Biz Today on South Florida's only all-business radio station, 880 AM. Today's business world is fast-paced and ever-changing. Gain a competitive advantage by listening to Mind Your Biz Today, hosted by Janie Smith, CEO of Smart Advantage. Janie is a best-selling author and business consultant extraordinaire with over 35,000 hours consulting C-suite executives. She will help you navigate today's business hurdles and maximize your opportunities with thought-provoking discussions with CEOs, business authors, and thought leaders. Learn the latest trends and profit-producing ideas for growing your business.
Mind Your Biz Today is brought to you by Vistage, the world's leading CEO organization whose member companies outperform the market. Visit Vistage.com today.
Here's your host, Janie Smith.
Welcome back to Mind Your Biz Today, South Florida. We're glad you joined us again, and we want to have a special thanks to Vistage as our sponsor. Vistage has helped growing companies all over the country and in South Florida in particular. There are scores and scores of Vistage members who are CEOs of small, medium-sized businesses. You should join today if you haven't already. It's a wonderful organization, and they promise to grow your business at 2 times that of the S&P, as you may have heard in the sponsor announcement. I want to also remind our listeners that you can go to mindyourbiztoday.com to send us your emails, your comments, and particularly any ideas or requests you have for upcoming shows. If there's a particular theme you would like to hear, please let us know. For example, this past Friday, we had a show on economic forecasts. We're going to have a show today on sales. We've had one on customer loyalty. We're happy to present to you the shows that will most help you grow your business, so please let us know. Also, I am Janie Smith, host of the show and author of Creating a Competitive Advantage. It is a bestseller today because it is a topic that is most needed by businesses in a downturn or any time. You want to grow your business, you have to be able to answer the question, why should I buy from you and not your competition? And our research shows that an outstanding number of businesses, executives and salespeople are not adequately prepared to answer that question. So the book is called Creating Competitive Advantage. And on that note, for what is most important for closing sales, today we have a special treat. Today we have Bernie Cronin. Bernie Cronin is a sales expert, and he is the president of Sandler Sales in South Florida. He has 30 years of direct sales and sales management experience. He has a combination of real-life problem-solving with his communication skills. I know scores of people who have attended his seminars and have really, really upped their game. He's a certified Sandler trainer, and he has all kinds of memberships in associations around the country. So, Bernie, welcome. We're glad you could be with us today.
Janie, it's a privilege and an honor. Thank you very much for inviting me on the show.
Well, we're delighted, and our listeners all want to improve their skills in just about everything they can to improve their business, and business ain't business unless they're sales. Isn't that right?
Well, you got that one right. Everything starts, you know, as the old saying is, nothing happens until somebody sells something.
So let's start with a couple of key questions that I know a lot of my clients ask me, and I know that some of your expertise is in. What does a company have to do to build a top-performing sales team?
Well, Janie, you know, most management problems are hiring problems. Larry Bossidy, in his book, Execution, said that a leader's most important job, selecting and appraising people, is one that should never be delegated. And the biggest problem I find out there in building a team is that having a process to build a team that starts out with recruiting. I mean, all managers and owners have to continually be recruiting and building their people bank. And once they get the candidate, the next step in building that top-performing sales team is to interview. And that's very difficult because something like 92% of people are hired from the interview, and Unfortunately, 92% of people don't really know how to interview. You know, here's why you should come to work for us.
Yeah, and I know because I work with these folks. As you know, I do a lot of coaching for CEOs, and it's one of those things that's a pain in the butt. We really don't want to spend the time. We know how important it is, but it really does take an extra effort if you're going to find the creme de la creme. I mean, I on my earlier show, I talked about a quote that I learned early on, which is hire slow, fire fast. Take the time to do the research and the work and the assessments you need to do at the front end. Isn't that right?
Well, that is right. You know, I always say we hire for skills and fire for attitude, or, you know, and we've all done it, and me included. Hired John Wayne on Friday, and Woody Allen walked in on Monday.
I love that quote of yours.
So, that's a Bernieism, you know that.
I know. You need to write a book on those.
I know. And so, you know, the interview is so important, you know, having... I like to think of the rule of three: three interviews, three candidates, and at least three people interviewing to get an objective appraisal and a consensus. And then the next step, as you know, and you and I both do this, you know, we need to x-ray, we need to do a profile, no matter which kind of a profile, there's a lot of them out there, but a profile based upon what behaviors that particular candidate brings to the table.
Absolutely. I agree with you. I always try to encourage people to do those, and again, people want to take the shortcuts. Let me go to another question. I want to get as much in the short time we have together. What do owners and sales managers tell you the biggest problem that their salespeople have, particularly today in this economy?
I think, Janie, the number one problem, and I would say 90% of owners and managers I speak with, when I ask them what are their people's biggest roadblock, their sales team, it's getting to and speaking with the decision maker, the guy we call, or gal we call veto, the very important top officer.
Yeah, getting past the gatekeeper.
Getting past the gatekeeper, getting to the decision maker, the person who's got the pain, the person who's got the budget.
So what do you recommend to your, what do you teach your folks to do in that case? What are some skills you recommend?
Well, one of the skills that we do, as you know, monthly cold call prospecting boot camps, and it's not only cold calling, it's warm calling, it's getting referrals, but what we teach them is to start at the top. Even if you're sent down, at least you can say, I was speaking to Vito's office, he suggested I call you. Most people start at the middle or the bottom, and they talk to a guy that I call Seymour, which is S-E-E-M-O-R-E. He wants to, or she wants to see more information, see more details, see more brochures, and Seymour can't make a decision.
Yeah, that's right. We've all been in that place. That's a complete
it's an ugly
end.
Place. It's called, I call it Hope Island.
Yep, that's right. Well, that's a very good tip. So what do owners, I'm sorry, what sales has probably, you know, my experience with our clients, sales has the highest turnover of any profession. It's a mill. Why is that?
Well, again, it goes back to that that hiring process here. You know, approximately, according to Thomas International, which is one of my clients, and they have 30,000 clients around the world, and they surveyed their clients, and they found that 52% of people should not even have been hired in sales. You know, in some industries, the insurance industry, for example, the stock brokerage industry, they have 80% to 90% turnover.
That's staggering. And that to me is amazing, because those kinds of organizations, they spend a small fortune in training. So the money that they're throwing out the window, because they bring somebody in, they spend a fortune training them, and then they churn them on out, has got to be extremely bad investment.
It is, and you know what really just, I can't, it appalls me is that when you mention it to those executives, they say, well, that's the industry, that's always been that way.
Right, heaven forbid we change.
Yeah, oh, God forbid, change, that's a bad word. You know, and, you know, for example, I saw an article in the Wall Street Journal that said that over 80% of the people hired by New York Life, which is a client of mine and a great company, are not there after 4 years.
That's staggering.
So then you've got to be constantly recruiting and hiring and hoping that, you know, that they'll stick.
So Bernie, let me ask you, what would you say are the two most important attributes one has to have to be successful in sales? Because I know, you know, a lot, there's the two kinds of salespeople, the ones who are happy doing the cold calls, they love it, and the ones who positively hate it, but they're natural closers.
Yeah, and it goes back to, you know, prospecting is the most important part. People tell me, oh, Bernie, once I get in front of them, I can close them. I know that. That's the hardest part. And so, in answer to your question, I believe the two most important attributes are guts and humor. It takes courage. It takes the willingness to handle rejection, the willingness to have, you know, the phone hung up on you, people don't want to talk to you. That's the hardest part is prospecting, and not enough companies out there teach that part of it. They teach all the techniques and the skills and open-ended questions, but you've got to be out there, you know, finding out who qualifies and who doesn't qualify for your service.
So let me just reflect back and ask another question about that. If it takes guts, because you have to be able to have what I hear you saying, persistence and not being afraid of the rejection. So it sounds to me like one of the traits for a good salesperson is a very good ego, so that they're not taking any of the rejections personally. They understand it's all part of the game, and they have to continue to be moving forward regardless of continued rejection. Is that fair to say?
That's absolutely the case. The self-esteem, you know, you have to love yourself before you can love others. And, you know, they're not rejecting me. They're rejecting the opportunity to do business with my company should be the mantra. And the one I train my people is I'm calling to speak with those people who want to speak with me. And not everyone does.
Yeah, you know, Bernie, I remember hearing you once. I love one of your favorite quotes that you shared with me. And I'm not sure exactly what the number was, but I often quote you. I probably get the percentage wrong, but I love what you said, something like 75% of salespeople offer a lower price before it is even asked for.
Yeah, it was a statistic by Selling Power magazine said that 78% of people in the previous year were offered a discount without even asking for it. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Discounting your product?
And so what do you think accounts for that?
I think it accounts for that companies are willing to accept that, and that individuals are, and they think it's all about selling on price as opposed to selling on value. You know, Warren Buffett said, price is what you pay, value is what you get.
Right, so you know where I stand on this one, right?
Yeah.
My whole goal, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit at the end of the show, about creating competitive advantage. It's how do salespeople need to communicate value so they don't need to sell on price? I mean, as you know, we do lots and lots of research for our clients, and we test where does price come up out of 20 attributes. You know, if you're buying from a company, what are the things you most look for? And most of the organizations we bring that back to, if we ask the salespeople, they'll all say price is number one, and when they see the research, when it's double blind, it's usually at the bottom of the list. It's nowhere near. So it's so interesting. They fall back on it. I always say salespeople like to do that because it is the path of least resistance. Bernie, we're going to take a short commercial break in about a minute here, and then I'm going to get back to you with some more questions. So can you hang on with us for a
I most certainly can, Jenny. It's a pleasure.
And I want to tell our folks we're going to cover a couple more things. We're going to talk about what a company should invest in their salespeople. We're going to ask Bernie several more questions on what are some of the key roadblocks for salespeople, how to best train them. So if you will stay tuned as we get a quick message from our sponsor, Vistage, enhancing the lives of CEOs personally and of their businesses. We'll be back in a few minutes with South Florida. Stay tuned. Thanks.
We'll be right back with Mind Your Biz Today and Janie Smith after this word from our sponsors.
As the CEO, are you avoiding tough decisions? How can you do more with less? Who do you turn to for real advice? What do 14,000 companies who have unparalleled access to new business perspectives, innovative strategies, and actionable ideas have in common? Vistage. Vistage is the world's leading CEO organization who offers their members business coaching benefits not available anywhere else. To see if you qualify for membership in Vistage, Florida, contact Chip Webster at 1-800-733-4832 or visit Vistage.com today.
Here is Janie Smith with Mind Your Biz Today.
All right, South Florida, thanks for staying tuned. We're going to continue this interview with Bernie Cronin of Sandler Sales. He teaches people all over South Florida how to better build their sales forces, and if you're a salesperson, how to be a better salesperson. And so we're talking about some of the issues that organizations have for getting the best salespeople. What we haven't talked about, and I'd like to ask Bernie, can you say a few things about, we're talking a lot about how to hire them, so let's talk a little bit, if you could, about how to retain them. Because lots of people, once they get the skills and they get really good at their game, they're on to the next company. What's the best way to retain salespeople?
Well, I think, Jay, one of the important ingredients I didn't mention is onboarding people. In other words, how do you bring them on board for those first few weeks or couple of months? And then how do you retain them? Well, I believe that compensation drives behavior. And not just monetary. I mean, people like recognition, they like accomplishment, they like achievement. And I think they have to be recognized in that regard. The other thing is that I think the way to train them is that, unfortunately, many companies believe that sales management is supervision, when in reality it's coaching and training and mentoring. I think if we focus more on those three management behaviors, we're going to be a lot more successful in retaining our sales force.
Okay. So there's another thing I remember hearing you one time talk about, and I'd like you, if you would, expand on this a little bit for our listeners. You had a talk for a CEO group once, and it was that something titled something like, you're the best salesperson in your organization, and that's the bad news. The CEO, I so often when I'm out on the road and we're trying to uncover competitive advantages, the CEO will rattle them all off and I'll say, how many of your salespeople even know that? And they go, oops, forgot to tell the salespeople. So what are some of your reasons for why that's bad news when the CEO or owner of the business is in fact the best salesperson?
Yeah. They always are the best salesperson because they're the owner, they've got skin in the game, they started the company, they've got belief, they've got conviction, they've got commitment, and it's very difficult to transfer those feelings of commitment and belief to the sales force. And I think one of the other areas is we don't allow our people to fail enough. Let them go out and get knocked around a little bit. Let them learn the hard way. And sometimes we just go in and what happens is our salespeople become bird dogs, and then the owners and managers go in and close them. And that's setting ourselves up for failure.
Yes. That brings me to my next question. You know, the hunterer and the gatherer question is, what are you turning your people into? Are they hunters? Are they gatherers? Are they both? And I'd really like it if you could share with the listeners a few comments and your view on that. Can a hunter be a good gatherer, and can a gatherer be a good hunter?
Well, I think that's a great question. You know, hunters and gatherers, or hunters and farmers, if you will, or hunters and account managers. And I think it depends on the product. Some products or services require a longer sell cycle, and some gathering or farming instincts are good. Others are more transaction oriented. For example, selling copiers, that's a transaction. That's a hunter who goes out, sells the machine, and then moves on. Someone else who's doing servicing and continually working for the account might be better to have some gathering talents as well. So you've got to kind of figure the mix based upon what your product and service is.
And is that something, can you train somebody who is innately a good gatherer or farmer to eventually be a hunter, or do you simply put them where you can use them best based on their talents?
I think you have to put them best based on their talents, Janie, and rather than try to hope you can change a gatherer or a farmer into a hunter. And likewise, a hunter, you know, he or she is just out there, and they're very good at what they do. But sometimes they leave a little mess behind them, but there are others who are account managers. I think we've got to do a job description and figure out what type of person are we looking for to sell our product and service. And maybe it's a combination depending upon what. And nowadays, there's a lot of team selling out there. You got some hunters going out there opening the door, and then you got some gatherers coming in to close the door and develop the services and deliver them.
Okay. So Bernie, I'm a great fan of yours, and I love your training. So just spend, we got a few more minutes here. Just spend a few minutes, if you would. Number one, what are your competitive advantages? If I want to go to you for Sandler Sales, give me your competitive advantages, and then tell the listeners a little bit about your services if they have some interest in sending their salespeople.
Well, Janie, I want to give you credit for helping me develop what is our competitive advantage, and I make reading your book mandatory, and I send it to all my clients. You know, we all think our competitive advantage is we're older, we're bigger, we're faster. You know, we've been around for 40 years, et cetera, and you really got me thinking about what is our competitive advantage, and I think it falls down to, you know, the areas that we do, which is profiling and impact training and reinforcement training, which really is our competitive advantage, management training, special programs, and
your continued training. I mean, you have the boot camps, and people can keep going, and they can go and go and go. Is that what you mean by the reinforcement?
Reinforcement, yeah. Most training out there is event training. It's 1 day, 2 day, jump up and down, boot camp type thing, and no follow-on. I think the reinforcement training, I have training every Thursday in my what I call my President's Club. People come for a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years.
Well, would you tell the listeners what your website and contact information is, and anything else you want to tell them at the moment?
Yeah, it's www.salesflorida.com. That's my webpage.
Salesflorida.com, no dashes or anything, one word.
Just salesflorida.com.
Okay.
And my information is on there. My training calendar is on there. To your point, last year we delivered 704 hours of training in our Fort Lauderdale Training Center.
Oh, you have been reading my book. Good boy.
Yeah. We have 220 training centers in 25 countries and 12 languages. And thank you for helping me
define that.
Too.
Yeah, well, I don't know that you needed me much, Bernie, because as a sales trainer, you are the consummate salesman. It's in your bones. You have it, anybody I know. So everybody that sends people to sales training with you really would ideally like to hire you away.
Yeah, but they can't afford me. But I like to say, training is not my job, Janie. It's my passion. I do love it.
And it is, and it comes across every time you talk about it. Well, Bernie, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. I'm going to wrap up the show for the next few minutes and just talk about a few things. So thank you ever so much for being with us.
Thank you for the opportunity, Janie, and to your audience, happy selling.
Okay, thank you.
All the best.
So, listeners, that was a really good talk from Bernie Cronin on sales, and by all means, visit his website so that you can see what he has to offer, and I know I am on his email blast list and get these tips all the time from him. It's just terrific. So I want to talk a little bit about how this ties in to what I started out with earlier. I talked about my book, Creating Competitive Advantage, and what Bernie has alluded to in the show is that he makes sure that that is the basis for a lot of the people who he teaches sales to. I always say you must arm your salespeople with competitive advantage. If you don't do that, then they are likely to try to make price the tiebreaker, the quote we referred to as 75% of all salespeople come within, 75% offer a lower price before it's even asked for. Well, that's the kind of thing that we want to avoid. I ask CEOs, what's the number one thing your salespeople tell you? Hey, boss, I can sell more if only you will, what? Fill in the rest of the sentence, and a room full of CEOs in unison will sell more. And I say, are you sick of hearing that? And they say, absolutely. They must be armed with solid competitive advantage, like Bernie gave you a few minutes ago, that are quantifiable, not arbitrary, objective, not subjective, and not stated by the competition. You can't be out there letting your salespeople say you should buy from us because we've got good quality and we've got good customer service, because your definition of quality and mine are not the same. Your definition of customer service and mine are not the same. How can we differentiate ourselves? You know, I always like to share with people, this is not just a theory that I've come up with. This is based on solid research. For many, many years, we have been Smart Advantage, my company. We are retained to do our Smart Advantage process, and as part of that process, the customer of ours, our client, must conduct double-blind market research. And we've talked about this a few weeks ago. The double-blind research repeatedly shows that the company that we're working with, 95% of the time, does not know the top three attributes. They're selling ABC, customer wants to know DEF. So if you're sending your salespeople out there saying, here's your sales pitch, here's your three most prominent themes, make sure the customer hears ABC. But when you've done double-blind research, the research comes back and you find out that ABC is not their buying criteria. In fact, it's DEF. You have not armed them sufficiently with the accurate competitive advantages. And they will close more. Our clients close between 10, 20, 30% more. And we even had one client recently tell us his revenues were up 110% because he got crystal clear on this. He closed we sent the salespeople to sales training. He closed a loop with them. He had a feedback loop on making sure that they were including in their sales pitches their solid competitive advantages. And that is critical between what Bernie's talking about, and if you arm people with good sales training and good competitive advantages, you will see a dramatic difference and increase in your close rate, as well as retention, and all while maintaining very solid margins. In this game, coming out of a recession, which we've been promised we are coming out of a recession, we must maintain margins to stay healthy. So again, South Florida, thank you so much for tuning in. We really appreciate it. We appreciated our interview with Bernie Cronin today of Sandler Sales in South Florida. And we want to thank Vistage, once again, our sponsor. Vistage is this international CEO organization of over 14,000 CEOs worldwide. Vistage is phenomenal at helping grow businesses and teaching CEOs of mid-market companies how to do better in every aspect of their business. They enhance their lives, as their motto is, personally and professionally. So thank you, Vistage. And again, thank you. Have a good weekend, South Florida. We really appreciate your tuning in today.
You've been listening to Mind Your Biz Today with Janie Smith, CEO of Smart Advantage, best-selling author and business consultant extraordinaire. Tune in next Friday at 4:30 p.m. for another great program here on 880 The Biz.